Hello and welcome to This Way Up. I'm Babette Gallard.
And I'm Thierry Shakanovsky.
So today we're bringing Chantal Natival, and I'm really, really excited about this because I first met her standing knee-deep in water on a river cleanup, and I was so impressed. I thought, I have to know more about her. And now, even better, I'm bringing her to you,
our listeners. Well, I had never met Chantal until we interviewed her, and I was so inspired by her. She blew my mind a bit, perhaps because I so identified with her. She's a postmenopausal woman like me, in despair about the state of the earth, the rivers, the world, like me. But unlike me, she has simply got up and done something about it. And as she explains, the listeners will hear again and again, she just gets up and does it. Well, Babette, you explain exactly what she does.
Well, I love it. This one woman brings a few more people with her, and she becomes a project, you know, and we need more projects like her. So she and a few people go twice a month down into the Yuxke River, and they pull out all this rubbish, clear it out, and then they come back and do it again.
Virtually with their bare hands. I mean, as Chantal says, yeah, you can use a gardening glove. But one more thing to say about that, Chantal lives in Johannesburg's northern suburbs, but she does not live along the stretch of the river that she actually cleans, which is also wonderful. But Chantal will tell you all about it herself. Here's Chantal.
A number of years ago, my partner and I used to walk our dog, Rosie, a German Shepherd, and this was her playground and her swimming, happy, mad space. And there's always been seasons of debris. I would land up going home every day with just handfuls of stuff. And somewhere around the same time, I embarked on an MA. Part of that MA was pollution of water and water as a feminine element. Because also within my age and the things that were going on with me perimenopausally, which I didn't realize were yet, and there was an aging and a soreness and what I felt was a debris in my body.
Oh, that's very powerful and relatable too. But how did you address it in an academic thesis?
In the master's, I was like, here I am feeling so utterly distraught that I can barely move because of the state of the world that we're in and our contribution into that. Could a creative endeavor reignite the creative within myself? Could it give me life when I was only feeling death?
And did it?
It did, because just in the doingness of something, there's some kind of a relief. So even if the world does still end tomorrow, I did everything I possibly could.
But I'm fascinated as to how you transform that very, very internal sense of a need to change into doing something in the world.
This river really was so fundamental in watering that, actually, because it's exquisite. I love it. It's beautiful. And it has been so decayed.
So what made you decide to actually take action and do something about it? How did you become the woman that I met, knee-deep in water, putting out indescribable crap from the river?
So when I eventually came back and we were in the pandemic, many, many months, nothing had happened. I was watching people doing cleanup. And eventually I was like, okay, that's it. I don't care if anyone comes, if they don't come, whatever. I'm setting this day, which was International Rivers Day at that point. And I'm going to go down to my river and I'm going to advertise wherever I can. And I'm going to hope that people arrive.
And did they?
Magnificently. I think we got over 60 people that first time. And it was amazing. Managed to clean a lot.
So how did you do it? Where did you advertise?
I think it was lots of WhatsApp groups, you know what I mean? It's like who's on which community group. And I tried to do the Facebook groups of everybody that I could find. And they had access to a lot of street groups because they were part of the RA, Residents Association.
And who responded?
There are two amazing humans who live in this area and they are sisters. And they do a million other things also to keep the environment clean and fantastic. And they've kind of came to the first one. So I've met them from there. Into that, the RA is also, they've got a group of gardeners, which also do once a month, one day. So we kind of all try and hit a similar area and then it's all collected by Joburg City.
And you said there were businesses that got involved?
So Rawson, they are very, very good. So always on the big yearly cleanup, they mobilize the entire office. And I think they've been doing this for years and years and years, if there were cleanups and contributing to cleanups and stuff like that. Bridget Smith, who was part of the environmental RA and who has retired, she also tries to come when she can. We've got another amazing woman who has sponsored her gardener since we began. So it's this really small group of people who are constant.
But it's a small group because I'm guessing it's difficult to mobilize bigger groups to come and pull slimy things out of rivers.
Look, it's not great work. So again, like anything that you do, what is the value and what is the value doing for you? Do you know what I mean? So for me, I'm trying to make a safe space for little critters who could be entangled or choked or whatever. Little and big, because we've got some otter, we've got some porcupine, we've got leghorn, there's civets.
And is the water healthy enough to support them?
So we've tested once a year over the last few years, and now we're trying to do every second month. Sometimes the phosphate levels are really high. This last time they'd lowered, we don't know why. Like, been trying to say to other people along the river, it would be great if a few kilometers up they also start to test, and we could maybe then start to kind of see, are there specific spaces which have got a very different reading? So I've invited Professor Chris Curtis from UJ, and then some of the guys who are in almost at the end of their PhD now. And they've come and presented and done some workshops for kids along the river and shown us big litter traps for macroplastic. And then we've done mini SAS, which is where you catch invertebrates in a net of some sort. And then there's this incredibly intricate system of, okay, this invertebrate is X amount of value. And if you've got this many, and then they look and they say, well, the river is in a good condition or in medium condition. It's always in a bad condition. There's like barely any life left in this river. It's shocking.
Does the water quality relate to what you're pulling out at any particular time? What do you mostly get in the river?
There's always string. There's a million types of string and cord wraps in the most disgusting and horrible ways around branches and trees and anything in its way. Do you know that something swimming into it is going to get caught? You know, you come across a bird that has got a string that's been wrapped around its leg and it gets wrapped around a tree, and there it has a most terrible, terrible death as it hangs unable to do anything, and it's appalling. So when I think of those things, that tiny bit of action is, this is why we do it.
It really is terrible, and I've seen it for myself. And the other thing I've found is plastic everywhere, and particularly polystyrene, which is just horrible.
Polystyrene breaks up and it's a shocker. I spent most of the 2 hours on Saturday on our hands and knees, and we were just trying to get the polystyrene. But all of that is just noxious, you know? We got car parts and we get tires and we get vacuum cleaners. We've had washing machines. We have fences and barbed wire fences, and you get people's entire stationery. You can't figure out how did that land up here.
Where is all this rubbish coming from?
I think that most of our stuff is from the settlement that is under the N1 bridge. We are now starting to get nappies, which means that women have moved in. We get mattresses. We get loads of clothing. We know that when this floods, it washes out everything that's underneath the N1 bridge. So where's most of our stuff coming from? Probably there. Because for the 40 other kilometers of Braamfontein Spruit, there's a bunch of people who are doing some cleanups along the way.
Do you actually go into those spaces?
Sometimes if we cleaned up whatever they might have left at a fire, and there's lots of ritual burning of candles and stuff which are left either open flame, or so you're scraping candle wax off trees and rocks and all sorts of things. Just at that end under the bridge, there's a settlement right here at the confluence. There's lots of arms and stuff like that. And there's been quite a few break-ins just across the river.
Interesting. You should listen to our first ever episode with Sifiso Gumbi of the Waste Pickers Association. And he talks about the fact that criminals have infiltrated some of those communities.
And interesting, because often the waste pickers are implicated. And in fact, it's not them. It's other groups that have infiltrated their communities.
Is there any help to be had in potentially threatening situations?
The security companies in the area, they've been astonishing. Really, in the most part, they have really tried to always support us. And they will send a vehicle or two vehicles and one person or four guys. We had 8 security officers and there were 8 of us. Wouldn't it be lovely if different corporates who were around close by to a piece of river or something, can they not go, hello, that's my little tiny section. If we want to get territorial about stuff, let's do it properly. Let's brand it. Let's put up some flags. And can they find local people who aren't working, whatever our minimum wage is now? Many people would be very glad to at least get a little bit of a something, I'm sure. It's very simple. Here is a pair of boots. Here is this. Here is a tool. Every day, you're going to look at 100 meters. Can we keep that clean?
You're listening to Chantal Natival on This Way Up.
coming up. She talks about Japanese forest bathing, but she tells us too where she gets the motivation to pull that stuff out of the river and to keep going back to do it.
And after that, she gives us the tips if we want to follow in her footsteps. So Chantal, you've been telling us about these wonderful people who help you and, you know, help you take terrible, terrible things out of the river. But what about the others that don't come? What do you think puts them off? Is it the nature of the stuff they had to pull out or, I don't know, something else?
I think if you just go, ew, I'm picking up something horrible and smelly that's been in the river and it might be a dead chicken or it might just be plastic that's been underneath there for so long and it's yucky, okay? If that is what you're centering on, you're not going to want to come back. However, if you go, there is a greater purpose to taking that piece of plastic out of the water, then there is a meaning to it. And so I often wonder if the people who don't come back aren't able to make that leap, that there is a reason that we're doing this. And if you want to just put that down to your property price and it looks appalling when you look out of your great vista, then that could also be a motivator. If it's because of the water crisis in this country, that because of service delivery, I don't know, there's a million thousand reasons. This week, a runner who apparently lives around here saw Anita up to her eyes in freezing cold water. And she pulls out a million things. And he came past and he said, what are you doing? She said, we're doing a cleanup. And he was like, let me help you. And he's just joined us. And so these guys, they're there every week. Hopefully more people are going to see them every week and feel like, well, they want to make a financial contribution. But generally, yeah, we're going back to the values thing. It's like, yeah, what is fundamental to us?
So Chantal, how much rubbish do you take out of the river each year?
Okay, so up to when we'd done 3 years, we had done about 3,000 bags. So about 1,000 bags a year. I cannot imagine what it would look like if we still had those 3,000, because when there's flooding or whatever, which is now just about any rain, it's flood sitting on the surface. The trees have grown around the stuff. You can go deep into the roots and you can see layers of plastic and plastic and plastic and a bottle, a thing and a thing and a thing and a thing.
Did you ever imagine that you'd be able to actually pull out all that stuff? And I don't know, has the journey gone the way you expected?
I think I've shocked myself because I'm not the most consistent human being. I'm a bit of a gypsy. So the fact that it's been going for nearly 4 years, actually, I think is quite remarkable. And part of that is because when I haven't been able to do it, there's been somebody to hold it for me and that I ask. So I didn't go, well, I can't be there, so nothing is going to happen. So I think ask, that's my own life lesson. For me, I'm glad that I haven't gone the NPO route. I see factionalism and lots of politicking all over the country with people who have made little groups because everyone is still fighting for the same buck.
Okay, so the first lesson is to ask for help. The second lesson is to possibly not go for an NPO. And what else?
Tree is ridiculously simple. You need nothing, in a sense. You can give yourself a little bit of protection. You can put on a thick glove because you don't want to be rummaging about in the undergrowth because you don't know what's there. There could be a little spider or there could be a syringe or there could be a thorn. So a glove. If you've got a shoe that you don't mind getting full of blackjacks or wet, I mean, it's you and a little garden tool. And are you in a safe space? If you're not in a safe space in this country, you know, have I got one friend that I can take with? Have I got two friends that I can maybe take with? And you go for half an hour. Can you do half an hour? Could you do 15 minutes? I don't know. It's like meditation. Can we give that to ourselves?
So no specialized knowledge needed, no specialized equipment, but mobilizing people is hard. How do you get people to turn up?
What my brain does when you say that is kind of going back to what I did, which was like, can't fret. And being an event organizer, there's a fret of who's going to arrive. And I mean, it's like, I actually just have to say, I'm going to be standing at that spot.
So fair enough, you've got all these people turning up, but are there other organizations that can help them apart from incredibly committed people like you?
So ARMOR is a great resource, Action for Responsible Management of Our Rivers. Kind of, it went from Gauteng and it's pretty much seems like it's right across South Africa. There's lots of river cleanups and beach cleanups and things that people advertise on there. You know, little groups of people constantly grow and see other groups of people constantly growing. And so that's spread and has become quite amazing.
Chantal, I'm in awe of what you've done and are doing. And you've explained how it has a lot to do with the state of the world and the world that you want to live in. But all the while you're talking, I'm just struck by the fact that you don't walk here every day. So how do you find the motivation just day to day to keep pulling those disgusting things out of the river?
I think I started by just saying it's such an exquisite space. And even the 2 hours that I'm there, the sound of the water, the sound of the bird life that still exists there, the sound of wind in trees, I'm not exposed to that in my tiny little flat that I live in with people next door to me. So absolutely, that 2 hours is like Japanese forest washing or whatever it's called. You know what I mean? Really? It really is. I think it's one of the few things that's probably keeping me going. So everything that I pick up feels like I'm cleansing something for myself. And I think for me that I have a sense of water as a being, I'm still drinking it in my tea every day. So for me, it's probably also it's like a homage, or it's a moment of love interaction as a blessing. We need to do some deep, radical healing work on ourselves and on the water of the planet.
That was wonderful, Chantal. Thank you so much. And you know something? I think Terry and I will be back to come and help you clean up.
Well, as I said at the start, I was just so impressed by Chantal.
Me too, absolutely. And all the people who help her, you know. And that's the other thing, Rawson's, I had no idea how involved they were. I just thought of it as a security company, and that's kind of good to know, I think.
Very encouraging. And hopefully there might be other corporations who think, well, we could do our bit too. I was also encouraged to hear about ARMA, Action for Responsible Management of Our Rivers. I didn't know that organization existed, that NGO. So it's nice to know that people can get in touch with them if they want to take action.
Yeah, I think this is an episode that's, you know, been really interesting for me. I've learned a lot from it, and I hope our listeners have too. So thanks for listening to This Way Up. Please rate and review Chantal's episode. It helps people to find her and all the other people we interview. And you can go to our website, www.thiswayuppodcast.org.